Hello there, and welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. The boys are coming to you from their hidden camp, set deep in the Florida woods on the banks of the mystic Suwannee River. So let's take a moment and hear from the boys of old Florida.
Okay, welcome back to the Palm and Pine Podcast, and today is part two of our interview with Hervagi Morick. So we'll jump right back in part two of that interview right now.
Well, hey, you know, this really leads into a question that I just can't hold back anymore and need to jump into this. But here on the Palm and Pine Podcast, so far, our only defense has been that we are very small. We are under the radar, so to speak. So far, maybe not after having you on, it sounds like. So what advice would you give any independent podcaster, you know, trying to come up into the world here to navigate through this really a censorship environment? What are some strategies and things that have changed with how you operate?
Well, I'd say a few things. I really like what I do, which is why, you know, it's not one of those things. Every day I get up and I look forward to continue podcasting. I would urge, one thing I don't like is podcasters will ask me for advice and then, or they'll start and then they'll stop. And I'm like, oh no, you gave up, you know? And it's like, so you got to have this drive, and it's really going to take a long time. You know, it took me years of building up that archive. So it's a long game. So for anyone doing a podcast, it's a long game. Year, think like half a decade, you know, it's if you're going to do it, it's going to be a long time until you get to your various sort of points of going up uphill. I always say that I use the guerrilla in Spanish, the guerrilla, like warfare. I'm obviously, it's a communist term, but I'm obviously anti-communist, but that principle of, you know, if you had these communist guerrillas and they were fighting the other side and they won a skirmish and they got the weapons, you know, from the Americans or whatever, you use whatever weapons you can. And so my philosophy has been to be on whatever platform you can be on, and to be posting. So as you've noticed, Geopolitics and Empire has been on the audio platforms, Apple, Spotify, as many podcast players as I can be on. The video on X, Substack, Pentagon Tube, BitChute, Brighteon, which is Mike Adams, Health Ranger. Just yesterday, he followed
me. My favorite, where I watch you.
Yeah, he just followed me back on X, which is pretty cool, Mike Adams. Yesterday, Odyssey, Rumble. There's something called Bastion, which I haven't been as active because you have to buy some token cryptos, and that's too confusing. But and then Facebook, LinkedIn, the big Instagram, those guys censored you during COVID very hard, but now they've opened up a bit. But LinkedIn, I'm growing there. So basically being Gab, there's life. MeWe, I gave up on Getter because it was dead, really dead. But just being wherever you can and consistently putting out honest content, and you'll get better over time. But again, there are all these different variables. So you do all that, you throw it out there, and just see what happens. And you'll have varying degrees of success. I think part of it is the luck part as well. So,
well, I tell you, that's that really hits home with my life experiences, because isn't it so true that anything great or important, it takes time, and you have to be determined. I think that's one of the number one skill sets, and we don't mention it as a skill, but being determined, staying with it, putting yourself out there, it's kind of scary, but continuing to do it, be consistent, and play the long game. And then the guerrilla tactics. I think that suits our what we're trying to do very well. So I appreciate that insight. Our audience that we try to serve is Florida. And I don't know how familiar you are with Florida, but it's very diverse. And it's international. Even though Doug and I are sometimes isolated out in the woods, we're talking to a lot of different types of people, and it's certainly an international community. And, you know, from all the experts you've interviewed and all the different themes, and what kind of global trends do you see coming that, like, maybe a Florida audience should pay attention to? And I kind of want to dig into things like social credit system, digital currencies, or international, you know, power shifts. What do you think is most critical in the next 5 to 10 years that you're keeping an eye on?
Just to comment on Florida, I the last time I was in Florida was probably like 30 years ago when I was a kid. My father was a painter, house painter, and he won a raffle in the company where he worked for like a 4-day trip to Florida. And so we went as a family to Orlando. We did the whole Disney World. Very fond memories. And now my wife, as we got kids, she's like, and they're girls and they love all the Disney stuff. Like, we got to go to Disney World, take the kids. So, but I would say for me, you see it in my podcast, the top two or three themes that I am constantly treating because I feel they're the most urgent is the world government, right? So I feel like that is the end game. The Bible talks about it. If you're not a Bible believer, okay, put the Bible aside. The elites talk about it.
We are Bible believers here on the
podcast. All right, right. Okay, so I mean, it's clear. It implies, you know, Book of Daniel, Revelation. We're going to move towards this. It's inevitable, this totalitarian world state, you know, for a brief moment in time until Jesus comes back. So, and we're seeing this manifest now. And like, I honestly feel like I'm one of the few consistently talking about this because I don't see too many people talking about it because I'm pointing out the European Union is the blueprint. It, you know, they had their laboratory. I believe they did the Second World War as the pretext to give birth to this new form of government above the nation state, which is this supranational regional structure. It's anti-democratic, totalitarian, technocratic. And in that laboratory, so they're like, okay, here's the model. We're just going to copy and paste it to the rest of the world. And so now you have an African Union. It exists. They're working on a pan, you know, African parliament and regional currency. And then we see Trump, you know, and his crew pushing the North American technate, North American Union, integrating Canada, USA, Mexico, Greenland, Panama. So, you know, these designs have been around literally for a century in on writing. Elon Musk's grandfather was part of that movement. So, I was the only person I heard the last 2 or 3 years mention, you know, people are raving about Nayib Bukele in El Salvador. It's like, he gave an interview. I got all the sources. He gave an interview where he said, you know what, we should copy the EU and make a Central American Union. You had Rafael Correa, the ex-president of Ecuador, give an interview 2 years ago. I have this source. He's like, you know what? We should copy the EU and make a South American Union. The president of Mexico, the ex-president, AMLO, he literally said like 5 times during his presidency, we should copy the EU and make a North American Union. The Russians are doing it now. Some people don't even know. The Eurasian Union is literally a copy of the EU. And Sergei Glazyev, in my weekly report I did just yesterday, there's a clip of the Russian economist minister Glazyev, and he's talking about this union state between Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine. And so that union state has been going on for a while, but between Belarus and Russia, to integrate them EU style. And now he just added on Ukraine. So I just came with a new thesis thinking, maybe one of the hidden goals of their Ukraine war, I've been saying one of the hidden goals of the Ukraine war has been to accelerate integration of the EU and create an EU army. You're seeing this talk now. They're all talking about, oh, look at this Ukraine war. We need to create an EU army. Like that was actually the plan of provoking this Ukraine war so they can have the pretext to. And that's why you see the US is moving away from NATO because the training wheels are coming off because now they're like, you got to stand on your own 2 feet to have this EU army. And then think about this. Maybe, you know, they created this mini version of World War II, this mini war in Ukraine. And then I think it will finish. And then they're going to, one of the solutions will be, oh, we're going to put Ukraine in this new Eurasian Union. And then you're going to have the Stans join, Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. So you're going to get your Eurasian. And then you have the Southeast Asian Union, ASEAN. And a lot of people don't know, it's actually the EU is advising and giving financing to the African Union, to the Southeast Asian Union, to help them recreate what was done in the EU. So for me, that's like the world got the, this move towards this totalitarian world state, as H.G. Wells called it, the democratic socialist world states, and the technocracy. So before I get to technocracy, I don't know if you have any other questions on world government stuff.
Well, just let me. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, that's blowing my mind and very insightful on all that. I'll tell you something I'm into. I'm very much orange pilled. I'm very much a Bitcoiner. You know, with technocracy, I tend to think there's bad and good. There's a lot of bad and scary things, but there are things that can improve and help us in the future as sovereign individuals. But in particular, Bitcoin, I'm not trying to get wealthy with Bitcoin. I just like the principle of how it works. What future do you see for Bitcoin or a currency like that? And also understanding that nothing is perfect, and I'm sure Bitcoin could be compromised as well. How do you feel about Bitcoin?
I guess there's different threads there. I can see Bitcoin going either way, but my thesis from the beginning hasn't changed. I felt that they created Bitcoin as a way to whet our appetites for CBDCs, because you can't just go from cash, you know, from the fiat world and have this cold shower of CBDCs. There's got to be like a bridge that's built. This warming up, I don't know, for lack of a better word, this entree, this foreplay or whatever, like this transition. And a lot of people got rich, right, from Bitcoin. And then they created this industry of all, you know, the Ethereum and XRP and all these other private coins and meme coins. And so I think they created it for that purpose. But then to your point again, we are speaking thanks to DARPA internet. Right. So DARPA creates internet, DARPA creates, you know, CIA GPS and Google Earth and, you know, Facebook was created by DARPA DOD and probably X and, you know, probably Amazon and Microsoft and all this stuff. And so it's kind of to your point that I always used to tell students, you know, you can have a knife, which I use to put butter on my bread, or you can stab somebody, a gun to protect yourself. From a home invasion. My home had been broken into 3 times when I first came to Mexico. Not this home, but another home where I used to live. I think, you know, if you use these things to make money like Bitcoin, all the, you know, the better, right? Why not? But I think eventually it's spurring us towards this. As one of my past guests, Edwin Black, who I really like to reference, one of my favorite interviews that I've done, and I love his work. He calls it the algorithm ghetto. And I could see Bitcoin. I've been talking about this lately. Again, no one knows exactly how things are going to play out, but we see now the U.S. administration, Scott Bessent and others, trying to create this Bretton Woods 3. And the BRICS world have also been talking about it. So we had Bretton Woods 1, 1944, IMF, World Bank, Keynes floated the one world currency idea called the Bancor. That wasn't picked up at the time. And so they created essentially a world currency, which is the dollar backed by gold. That's Bretton Woods 1. By 1971, that fails because they start inflating, right? And then they switched to Bretton Woods 2, which is the oil backed dollar, petrodollar. That has run out now. And so now they're talking about Bretton Woods 3. And it seems like the play that Washington has is to back now the dollar, to extend the runway a third time and back it by energy or Bitcoin or, you know, digital currency, which is, you know, the Bitcoin. And then they're for that, they're using stable coins and Tether and all this. There was this genius act that recently seems like it didn't pass, which was going to formalize this new system. And so that seems like that's their play for our Bretton Woods 3 to keep the dollar dominance alive, if not expand it, because they're dollarizing Latin America, right? You've got countries that are using the dollar, Argentina now, and there's Ecuador. But I could see that it's possible that can fail. So they might fail in that somehow Bitcoin collapses. That leads to a dollar collapse. And then maybe like BRICS World comes out with this new currency. So I can kind of see it going either way. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you know, it's hard to say. And some technocracy is good, some is bad. And who knows which way any of it is leading us. One other question I want to ask before we do run out of time, and then maybe we'll ask a few more. But with everyone that we interact with on our podcast, we always like to ask a final question to kind of close with. And again, if we have time, we'll continue. But one of the things we want to get from everybody is if you could just provide us with a guiding principle that has always held true for your life, and just one thing, and it can be spiritual, it can be philosophical, it can be both. There's no rule. But if you could talk to a young person and you could tell them, "Hey, this is the thing that has always carried me through in life. It's an axiom that's always true. It's my number one principle." What would that be for you?
I would say basically just loving the truth. You know, I picture often the God is there and Jesus, and he's watching. And what do they say? What we do echoes in eternity. And, you know, I remember I worked at a supermarket in North Chicago called Happy Foods, and a middle-aged man took a bottle of vodka and ran, elderly white dude. And he ran, and you know, I knew by then that they could have written it off for insurance, but for some reason, I just started to chase after him down the street, across the you know, traffic streets, and he outran me. But just it was sort of like that principle, like, you know, that was what he did was wrong, and I have to kind of make a statement like, no, that's wrong. You can't steal, and I have to fight that culture, you know, because increasingly now we see this culture that's, you know, in places like Mexico, this culture of corruption where no one says anything, everyone turns a blind eye. And I've just kind of always been the person, like, I don't care if I'm the only person in the classroom or in my neighborhood with the masks for COVID. During COVID, I live in a gated community, you know, like many communities, you meet once or twice a year to talk about governance of your local community, homeowners association, whatever. And I remember during like 2022 or something, there were 50 of us neighbors. I was literally the only person with not wearing a face mask. And I was wearing, because it's the right thing to do, because it's a lie. I'm not participating in this lie. And I was daring anyone to come up to me and ask me to take it off. No one did, but I was like ready, like just dare me to put it on. Not going to happen. You know, so I would just say, just be concerned for what is right, our duty to help others, to love others, to maintain the truth as a form of resisting, you know, evil and sin and tyranny and whatnot.
That's great. Can I say one final thing here before we close? I think what I've learned today is your podcast should just be you giving a monologue.
I've been thinking about that. What do you think? Should I?
You're the most interesting guy I've ever heard on your podcast.
I've been contemplating doing. I might start doing that. Yeah, maybe.
I think your comments they're all got great continuity with telling the truth, promoting the truth, standing for the truth. So it all does tie together very well.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I wish you guys success.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Palm and Pine Podcast. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views and opinions expressed by the host or any guest are our own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliates. Our opinions are just that, opinions, and are not legal or medical advice.
But in our opinion, avoid lawyers and big pharma at all cost. Copyright 2025, Palm and Pine Podcast, all rights reserved. Please subscribe and share. Okay, until next time, keep it Florida, and we'll see you soon.